Oh, wow. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Lance. Quite a weekend. Yeah. mostly with my grandson, which is the best. This meeting will be conducted by electronic means in accordance with the Senator Byron M. Baer Open Public Meeting Act of 2020, which explicitly permits public bodies to conduct a meeting electronically during the state of emergency. Governor Murphy issued Executive Orders 103 and 107 declaring a public health emergency and state of emergency and directing residents in quarantine and practice social distancing. Borough Shoebrackett, in complying with the Open Public Meeting Act, has provided the date, time, and location of this meeting to at least two designated newspapers, published the same in the Asbury Park Press, the official newspaper, filed notice with the borough clerk, and posted notice on the borough office, in the borough offices, and on the borough website. Hooray, it's gotten way longer.
All right. So,
welcome, everybody. Could we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Cashmore? I know you're there. Okay. Chairman Cunningham.
I just turned my mic on.
Chairman Cunningham.
Here.
Ms. DiGiulio.
Here.
Vice Chairman DeSeo.
Here.
Mayor Kelly is absent. Councilman Lackstein is absent. Mr. McGinley. Absent. Mr. Knott. Couldn't make it. Mr. Smith might join us later. Ms. Bills is absent. Ms. Ray?
Here.
And Ms. Gorman?
Here.
Thank you. All right. So,
onto our minutes from.
No, I had to update that because I couldn't get them done for the first time. I'm so ashamed.
Okay.
I'll get them next time. We have.
You usually have weeks.
I know.
Okay,
too busy
no
today.
6-9 or no 6-16.
Right. 6-9, 6-16.
Okay.
I owe you.
So that brings us right to. I did not have time to get your email.
Okay. We can talk you through it. I have the first. Resolution is the Christopher and Kathleen Polterak, 504 Ocean Avenue.
I didn't get the resolutions and looked at them.
The resolutions Carrie sent.
Yeah. Has everybody received them?
Has everyone had a chance to review them? Polterak is 504 Ocean Avenue, Block 30, Lot 2. Bulk variance approval.
Is there any discussion on the resolution for that property?
No. No, I have no.
Any motion?
I'll move to approve it.
Okay, Elizabeth, and second?
I'll second.
Who's seconding? Lance, did you second?
We'll roll call that, please.
Okay. Mr. Cashmore? Mr. Cashmore?
Yes.
Chairman Cunningham?
Yes.
Ms. DiGiulio? Mr. DeSeo?
Yes.
Let's see, who else is here? Ms. Ray?
Yes.
And Ms. Gorman?
Yes.
And that's all for that.
You missed me.
I thought I got you. Sorry, Ms. DiGiulio?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. All right, so that was our first one. The second one is Lo Biondo, 3 Osborne Place, Block 9, Lot 3.01, bulk variance approval.
Okay.
I can't vote on that one, so.
I'll make a motion to approve that.
I'll second it.
Okay.
Ready? Two resolutions?
Yeah.
He has two, yeah. Mr. Cashmore?
Yes.
Chairman Cunningham?
Yes.
Ms. DiGiulio?
Yes.
Okay, Ms. Ray?
Yes.
And Ms. Gorman?
Yes.
All right. The third one is also James Lobiondo, 3A Osborne Place, block... No, I didn't type up. Block 9, and it's lot 3.02, also bulk variance approval.
And I'll make a motion to approve that.
Okay. Second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Heather?
Roll call, please.
Mr. Cashmore?
Yes.
Chairman Cunningham?
Yes.
Ms. DiGiulio?
Yes.
And we have, let's see who else can vote here. Ms. Bills is not here. Ms. Ray?
Yes.
And Ms. Gorman. And those are all who can vote on that one. Okay. And the fourth and final is the Jack Sanders, Janet Thorpe, 12 Center Street, Block 9, Lot 13, also bulk variance approval. I remember it was for decks. All right. Second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Mr. Cashmore?
Yes.
Chairman Cunningham?
Yes.
Ms. DiGiulio?
Yes.
He's not here. Mr. DeSeo, you couldn't vote on that one? The Sanders one?
No, I recused myself.
Recused for Sanders? Okay. Then we have, Ms. Ray?
Yes.
Ms. Gorman. And I think that's all we have tonight who can vote on that. All right. Okay, finally.
I think that's, unless you have something else, I just have the original agenda that was sent.
Right, so now we're on to the new application.
New application, so we can pause.
Candace, do we have to do approval of the minutes?
No, because I didn't get them done.
Do we have
no minutes tonight?
Of the minutes, no.
No, not tonight.
Okay.
Next meeting, you'll have three sets to do.
Okay. Very good.
So, for Kennedy.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
Very good. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I guess, are we expecting a seventh member, Mr. Chair?
I believe Stephen Smith was trying to attend. He was tied up in some kind of a real estate issue.
Okay.
What you see is what you got right now.
Okay. So I would just, hello to my clients, Mr. Dowd. I know we talked this morning about the benefits of having seven members. I'm assuming we should proceed, and then we can talk later on about whether or not we'll have a vote. But if that's okay, Mr. Chairman, we'd like to proceed. And then knowing that we need five affirmative yes votes in order for the application to approve, if you don't mind, we can just determine later on whether or not we want to have an actual vote tonight.
Okay. I'm okay with that. Board members, anybody have issue with that?
No.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Again, good evening. My name is Kevin Kennedy. I'm an attorney in Red Bank. It's nice to see you all, albeit in a virtual and remote fashion. And Mr. Chairman, as an aside, before we get to business, I have to, first of all, I need to say I think your board secretary is wonderful. She's been very helpful. And I think I sort of have to take some responsibility for the minutes fiasco. Had I not called her and emailed her 10 times today and 10 times yesterday, you probably would have had the minutes done and her perfect record would have been intact. So that's a little bit on me, so my apologies.
I was not about to blame you, Mr. Kennedy.
Mr. Chairman, this is the application of Bernard Dowd and Cynthia Dowd, 20 and 22 Church Street, and it's block 13, lots 28 and 29, and it's an interesting application. My clients are the owners of the property, owned it for a couple of years now. The property is located in the R3 zone, and in 2014, Michael Ross, who was a prior owner, he received use variance approval and bulk variance approval to A, demolish the then existing Superstorm Sandy damaged two-family home, and also received permission to construct a new two-family dwelling on the site. That memorializing resolution was adopted in May of 2014, and that was attached to the application package. And what my clients, as new owners, are respectfully requesting permission for is they want to modify.
I apologize.
Sure.
We're on a good roll here. But Terry, do we have a little business to get to make sure the notice has been?
Yeah, we do. I was just letting him do his.
I'm sorry, I jumped in too quickly.
No, that's okay. You can finish and then I'll put everything on.
Okay. And then, so what we're looking for, respectfully looking permission to do, is to modify some of the design elements of that previously approved home. We think it's a more aesthetically and more functional proposal. And hopefully you will as well. And Mr. Chairman, the reason that one of the reasons I said this is an interesting application is because when we first started this concept, and my clients and myself, my official position was going to be, "Ooh, I don't think any further variance relief is necessary." The use variance granted was previously. It runs with the land, and we're still keeping the two-family use, and we were not creating any new variances. We were doing modifications, but we were either making them less intense, or if we were changing things, we still weren't creating any new variances. So my thought was going to be, hey, if we're not changing it that dramatically and we're not creating any new variances and not exacerbating any variances, I was going to make the argument that we don't even need any formal approval. I don't necessarily know if the borough or the board, Ms. Higgins, would have agreed with that, but that's where we were going to present. But then we had a little bump in the road with the issue of building coverage, and that sort of issue knocked my no new variance or no need for formal approval. And I'm just going to give you, at the risk of giving a spoiler alert, Jeremiah Reagan, our architect, will testify to this in a little bit, but we think, based upon our forensic review, back in 2014, I believe the board approved a building coverage of about 55.3%, and right now we are proposing a building coverage of about 61.93%, and we think, again, in the forensic analysis, that the calculations from 2014 were inaccurate. We don't think that they included elevated decks in the building coverage and elevated air conditioning platforms. So we think that there was confusion, and we think that, and Jeremiah will explain that later on, and we think that would have ultimately caused a problem later on down the road when it was all inevitably figured out. But because of that clarification, that knocked my argument out that, hey, we don't even need to go back. But to make a long story short, that issue needs to be clarified. So what we've come here today for is use variance approval for the construction of a two-family home, and also the clarification of that building coverage variance. Again, we'll, in a nutshell, it's the same general proposal. It's the same two-family use. It's the same number of bedrooms. We did add a half story. We did change some of the setbacks and improve them some. But we're hopeful that after you review the application and review what was previously approved, and what we're looking to approve tonight, that you'll be supportive and endorse the application, but I defer that to you. So, Kerry, I'm sorry for delaying your intro part, but that's my intro.
Very good. No worries. You were on a roll. I wasn't going to stop that. Okay, so again, this is the application of Bernard Dowd. I have reviewed the application, the jurisdictional packet, found same to be in good order. I have marked the jurisdictional packet as A1. I marked as A2 the zoning denial. I marked as A3 the narrative of intent. A4 are the architectural plans prepared by Jeremiah Regan, dated, I think, 1/26/20, although even when I enlarge it, it gets blurry, so Mr. Regan can tell me if that's right or wrong later. A5 is the rendering of the home. A6 is the 2014 resolution of approval. A7, again, I have some issue on this, architectural plans from the 2014 approval by Waga Enterprises. The original date is 1 August 13. The last revision date, and it says per owner, I think it says, is May 16 of 16. Now, obviously, those revisions were made after the approval, so I'm not sure in what rendition or iteration of the plans was actually the one approved. It'll say it in the resolution. Because we got this late, I didn't have time to cross-check it, so...
And I can speak to that later on.
Good. And I'm sure Kevin could do that. And I just didn't get to... I was frantically printing everything out that was then sent, so I could cross-reference it in a minute. And then A8 is the report from David Hoder, dated 3/19/20. And that's what I have. I didn't know if you had anything further, Kevin.
No, not at this time. So, Mr. Chairman, and actually, I just before I forget to Kerry's point, Mr. Reagan here, who's our architect tonight, was not the architect for Michael Ross when Michael Ross obtained the initial approval back in 2014. And it was just sort of that I realized that. And so I frantically was calling around to see if I could get these old architectural renderings. And I did speak to Gregory Waga, who was the architect that was referenced in the 2014 resolution. And he was good enough to send this to me today, which I sent to you. And again, I my thanks to the board secretary for so expeditiously putting it up there. And he did say to me, well, because I said, look, I just want to show a picture of what was approved and so that they can compare to what we're proposing. And he did say, well, this is, you know, I'm doing this for all from memory and from my computer. And he said, Kevin, I think there were some interior modifications. This is from 2016, but the exterior is the same. So I assured him that we were not relying on this in terms of any type of submission or resolution compliance matters. It was just purely for looking at a picture of what was approved and what was for comparison purposes. So hopefully that helps Kerry on that. We're just submitting it in that regard.
That's fine.
Mr. Chairman, I have two witnesses tonight. Bernard and Cynthia Dowd. It's really, I think, going to be Bernard who talks, but I'll swear in Cynthia. And then after that, my architect. So, Mr. Chairman, if there's no objections, I'll swear in the Dowds.
Please do.
Okay.
Mr. and Mrs. Dowd, we both raise your right hands. You solemnly swear to testify you're about to give us the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes. Yeah.
And can you just state your names for the record and spell your last name?
Bernard Dowd, D-O-W-D.
Dowd, D-O-W-D.
Okay. Good evening, and thank you for
being
so available. Now, clearly, we are, for the record, we're talking about the property located at 20 and 22 Church Street, correct?
Yes.
And for the record, you're the owner of the property, correct?
Yes.
And you're familiar with the application and plans which have been submitted?
Yes.
And how long have you owned this property?
I believe we bought it in the spring... May of 2018.
Okay. And I know you're a Seabright resident. Why don't you just take a minute and just explain to the board who you are and how you came to Seabright, and just in a minute or two.
I was born and raised in Monmouth County. Cynthia and I are veterinarians. We met in school. We moved to Oceanport. We lived in Oceanport for 25 years over on Gooseneck. And then our kids are older, both leaving Shore Regional High School and on with their lives. And Cynthia's always wanted Seabright. She wanted it bad. And we were chasing properties. Yeah, I say chasing because I completely knew prices going up, but that's okay. Cut a deal with Mike. Came to a deal with Mike Ross, purchased the 2022 property. It came with an approved set of plans that didn't make the deal. It wasn't necessary. We wanted them, but that we took them. But we didn't find the plans desirable.
Okay, and then just for the record, you're currently residents of Seabright right now, correct?
Correct. Later on that year, in 2018, I met Steve Borelli. He owned Seven Church, I believe his father did, and we purchased Seven Church from Steve. Fixed up Seven Church. It's a functional, nice little bungalow now, and we've been living in Seven Church since then. So we're residents.
Let me just interrupt for 1 second, sorry. I'll let the record show that Mr. Smith joined us for a moment there. I don't see his face anymore. Stephen, can you hear us? We lost him, so he did join us. I believe he's with us.
I believe he is. Mr. Smith, can you just acknowledge? Dave? His mic keeps going on and off.
Steve?
Yeah, I've got it says a poor connection for some reason. I don't know why, but I'm on. I'm here.
Okay,
I'm here.
Great.
I just wanted to make the record show that you
can hear.
Perfect. Thank you so much, and good evening, Mr. Smith. We just started, and all I said was we had a two-family home previously approved, and we're just looking for modifications. So thank you for making yourself available tonight. So I guess, Bernard, I would ask you is, you bought this property, had an approval in hand.
Thank you.
Against all that, doing this process with lawyers and architects and the plat applications and costs and planning board hearings. I think the main question is, why don't you just take what you had and stick with it? Why are you going through this? And I think that's an important question. And how would you respond to that?
Well, we had a couple builders suggest that we just go with the plans we had and seek some minor modifications, but we didn't want that. Cynthia has some pretty high aesthetic standards, and Church Streets and Seabright can justified, and you could financially invest and make a better product. Church Street has a lot of neat architecture on it, and we wanted to draw the brick into the building that we're going to create at 2022. And we just think it's aesthetically a better and a more functional property. We brought the setback a little, got it off the street a little. The half floor on the top, I think, is great. You pick up the views. We stayed within, I think it's a third to the space of the previous floor. It was kind of a no-brainer. We went from a 3 bedrooms on one floor to 2 on one floor with that option of a loft for a third on the third floor. We just thought it was a better, more relaxed plan. A little more cost, like just going through this process, and also the materials we're going to use are going to be higher grade. It's a better project.
And in terms of what are your personal plans, or what do you anticipate with regard to this proposal once it's built?
We'll move into one of the units. If everything went great, it entice one of our kids to come back to New Jersey. They're both professionals down in Florida, who knows? And then that opportunity to improve the Second Church property. Because we'll move across the street. Right now we live across from it. And then we'll be back before the board, probably asking to improve the Second Church property.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I have no further direct questions for the witness at this time.
Are there any board members' questions? Seems not.
No questions.
Do we have any public members on board with us tonight? Is there anyone from the public that has a question or of the doubts or of any other of the attorney.
Not yet. If not,
okay, Steve. If not, we'll move on to your other witness.
Sure. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to call our architect, Jeremiah.
Oh, he's with us. Okay, good.
Mr. Reagan, raise your right hand. You solemnly swear to testimony you're about to give us the truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
And again, can you just state your name and spell your last name for the record?
Jeremiah J. Regan, R-E-G-A-N.
And you're a licensed architect in the state of New Jersey.
Yes, I am.
And your licenses and certifications are up to date?
Yes, they are.
And I know you regularly appear before the good people in Seabright.
And yes, I have before this board many times. And without any objection from our board members, we will accept your credentials. Thank you.
Okay. So, Mr. Reagan, I guess just let's cut to the chase, and then you can, if you have access to, or Candace, you can, if you're the administrator of this, if you could pull up what was marked as, I guess, A7, and just, Mr. Reagan, you can just sort of, in the middle of that, that was the A7 was the 2014 architectural plans that were approved, albeit with the date.
Okay. We'll have
I just issued.
We'll have Greg will be pulling up what we need.
So that'll be coming up momentarily. And Mr. Reagan, just as an architect, how would you describe just generally the building, the structure that was previously approved?
It's a two-story traditional looking house with elevated with garage below.
Okay, and there it is, I think.
It was there. There it is.
And then if you go to the second page.
It's very, very small, so bear with me. I'll try and
reach Greg.
And if anybody wants it emailed to them directly, I can do that as well.
Okay. And Greg, thank you for that. And then in the meantime, Jeremiah, why don't you describe what we're proposing and describe, we'll get to your renderings in a moment, but just describe the changes that we're making. I think you were very good at delineating them in our narrative document.
When I was hired to redesign the project, I utilized the existing footprint calculations, and I wanted to make sure I kept within that, because that was previously approved. I didn't want to go beyond that. So I redesigned the building using that building coverage number. And in doing so, I changed the shape of it a little bit, but kept the same number that I calculated using this particular plan right here.
And why don't you explain, I think when we had talked earlier, you talked about, what some of the things that you were talking about, the difference was what you're proposing and what was previously proposed, windows, stairwells, and that half story. Why don't you just talk briefly about that?
Okay, well, we designed a 2.5-story house within the footprint that was approved. I increased the front yard setback from 0.7 to 3 feet. The elevated decks, and I think it's 11 feet or so to the face of the house. And we designed a different type of entryway, also keeping balconies in the front. And we also made the bedrooms on the second floor a little bit bigger, eliminated one from what was approved on the previous application. And we created a habitable attic and put the third bedroom or a loft up there. But And in doing so, we kept within the zoning requirements. It's a third of the square footage below, so it's considered a habitable attic as far as the building code is concerned, or a half story as far as the ordinance is concerned. And also, we did not create a height variance.
Okay, and I think you had made some changes with regard to the stairwell.
Yes, we have a different entry to the house. His stairway was up to an elevated deck, but completely outside, and mine is somewhat on the exterior, and we create like a bi-level entryway in the house, but the foyer is actually out of the flood zone and meets all the requirements of the base flood elevation plus 3 feet.
And then at least my, belief is that the most significant changes from the 2014 approved plan and versus what we're proposing, you said, talked about you increased the front yard setback from 0.7 feet to 3.0 feet. So that's an improvement.
Yes.
I believe we also, is it safe to say you reduced a reduction of the side yard setback from 4 feet to 3.16 feet, but that reduction, even though it's a reduction, that still complies with the setback, side yard setback requirement, correct?
Yes, it does.
I believe we also, you increased the rear yard setback from about 12.9 feet to about 12.96 feet, not a whole lot, but a little bit of an increase.
Yes.
Okay. And obviously, the stories you just testified, it was from two story to two and a half story.
Correct.
And two and a half story still complies with the height regulation, or the number of story regulations.
Yeah, yes, and the height regulation.
Okay, and the height, I think, went from an overall height of, was it 35 feet to 37.10 feet?
Yes.
Okay, and it's your opinion that that height still complies with the borough's prevailing regulations?
I think the height for the ordinance is 38 feet in a flood zone.
And then just, I know I referenced this in my intro, but why don't you just re-explain the building coverage distinction or issue?
When I calculated the square footage, I used this drawing actually, and I ended up the building coverage. So then I used that as the guide for redesigning the house. I did not want to exceed that and possibly even reduce it if I could. So therefore, the house got a little bit wider than what was previously approved, but not as deep. So by doing that, I increased the front yard setback and also the rear yard setback, and actually ended up reducing the building coverage in my calculations. But in my calculations, I included the enclosed garage and the elevated decks and the elevated utility platforms in the back.
So we respectfully think that the prior team just accidentally didn't calculate in accordance with Seabright's regulations.
Correct. I did not have the resolution when I redesigned the house. All I had was this drawing here. And then after I redesigned the house, it was approved by the client, and we submitted it for you for your application. You then sent me the resolution. I reviewed it and came up with the discrepancy. I went back to this drawing to see how, to try to figure out how we came up with a much lesser number. And I determined that the square footage of his enclosed garage was exactly the same number that was approved. So I'm assuming now that he did not include the elevated decks nor the utility platform.
So is it your position that if what we think is true and the building coverage was calculated the way we think it should have been back in 2014, it would be pretty consistent with what we're proposing tonight, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And just
you know whether or not our ordinance has changed since 2014?
That was my question.
Not Jerry, do you have any?
Not for that particular, not for building permits that I'm aware of, nor a change in what's included.
Okay, and then and we can come back to that. And just for the record, what are the materials going to be for our proposal?
The exterior materials? It's going to be masonry in the flood of the lower level, meeting all the FEMA requirements for flooding, and also the zoning ordinance requirements for the base flood elevation of 8 plus 3 feet. The upper floors are going to be fire rated, wood frame construction, and fiber cement siding, and and some windows.
And I think hardy board and brick veneer and.
Brick veneer in the front, and down the side, the exposed side, which would be the left side of the house, timberline roofing, the fiberglass decking.
Thank you. And in terms of the number of bedrooms, what was previously approved was 3.
Correct.
And we're still having 3 right now, correct?
Yes.
Although there was a change, there were all 3 on one floor, and now you have it spread out over the top floors, correct?
Correct. The previous application did not have a habitable attic or half story.
Okay. And in terms of the general orientation of what was approved, the building in 2014, and what we're proposing, is it relatively the same?
The orientation is the same, yes. Yeah.
And the general footprint the same, relatively?
Relatively, yes.
Okay. And as an architect, do you have any opinion as to whether this house will blend in with the character of development in the area and in the Church Street area?
I think it definitely will. I designed the house to the left, I tried to not match that particular design, but also keep it so it didn't deter from it. So I think it's a very traditional look, which a lot of the houses in Seabright are, and keeping in mind the flooding and meeting all those requirements, not only meeting them, but exceeding.
And then last series of questions, the resolution from 2004 made reference to the fact that the 2014 house would be consistent with the neighboring properties, both as to building and the use. The site has been used as a two-family residence for over 80 years. No neighbors objected to the proposal. The board found the site well-suited for the use. Anything that you're proposing today, in your opinion, change the nature of that finding from the board's resolution?
No.
And the resolution for 2014 also said that elevating the new home above the BFE would give protection against future flooding and improves public safety. The room sizes are reasonable and the size of the house was not too intense for the neighborhood. The new home will be compliant with building codes, whereas the existing home, well, the previously existing home is not. Anything that associated with your proposal that would make that finding no longer relevant or accurate?
No, that's pretty accurate for yourself.
The board in 2014 found that the home that was approved blended in with the neighborhood and that the variances were warranted and would have no negative impact on the neighborhood. Anything in your opinion that would change with this proposal that we submit tonight?
Nope.
Okay. And last, the resolution in 2014 found that the bulk variances were consistent with the neighborhood and what had been then the pre-existing dwelling. It says the proposed design and layout of the proposed home will add to the safety of the property and make for a better and more aesthetically pleasing home, and the new two-family home did not increase the density or the use. Anything in your opinion that's going to change the nature of that finding based upon what you're proposing tonight?
No.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I have no further questions for the witness.
Any board members have questions?
I have a question of the applicant or the witness. I might have missed this, but is there a house on that property now, or has that been demolished?
It's
the vacant lot has been demolished.
That was Steve Cash.
That's my only question.
Anyone else?
Yeah, this is Dave. I noticed on the plan that you actually are providing a 4-foot setback on both sides. In that zone, you are allowed to go 3 feet, so I think that's an asset also. Is that correct?
No, the previous application had 4-foot setbacks. What I did was I made the house a little bit fatter. I decreased the depth of the house, so I increased the front yard setback and the rear yard setback, and decreased the side yard setbacks, but in doing so did not create any new variances.
Okay.
It's Dave Sale. Yeah. And maybe Greg, you can pull up A4. But the side yard setbacks are 3.16, 3.17, 3.33, 3.34.
That's what we're proposing.
That's what he was
also
asking.
Increasing the front yard setback and also increasing the rear yard setback from what was previously approved.
But the previous approval was 4 feet. That's what Mr. DeSaya was asking.
Right.
But your new numbers
now,
are?
Now it's 3.3.
What? Correct.
But that does not create a variance situation.
No.
Right. 3 foot is allowed.
Yes.
Right. Are we still on 8.7? This is the old one that was approved, right?
Correct.
Yes.
We have the one we actually are looking to approve. Yeah, it's called I think just plans.
Your plans.
Two sheets.
Well, none of us was sent the plans. We have them in front of us.
Right.
Yeah, we all have them.
Right here.
Is there any particular page you want?
No,
it's on the.
Yeah, it's fine.
Thank you, Greg.
Hang on a second, I can't see. Who just say your name.
This is Dave Bowner, one question.
Sure.
In terms of utilities, both or one water sewer to the street?
I know there is water and sewer existing for one. I don't know if there's two, because I pay utilities on one, so I can say there's definitely one. I don't know if there's two.
The plan shows a second set of water and sewer property line, which appears to be nearby, but my guess is it's not. It's probably from the house next door. But my only comment is that if you destroy the sidewalk and curb, it has to be replaced.
Correct.
Yes.
So you're adding an additional sewer?
I presume if there's only one, I presume I'm going to add an additional.
That the sewer utility and neither the American are going to require a service for each unit.
And just for the record, that was Mr. Hoder that just spoke and Mr. Dowd previously.
Thank you, Tony.
Okay. Anybody have other questions? Board members?
No.
It's Heather. Hey, Mr. Hoder, can you just confirm that the height regulation is 38 feet in the flood zone?
It is. It's increased.
Excellent.
If you elevate, only if you elevate.
That's correct. Just give me a little bit of a bonus.
I believe it was higher than that if you were elevating to meet the flood requirement. If you are building new, it changes back to the 30.
That makes sense. Thank you.
Other questions? If not, why don't we open to the public if there's anybody listening in that would like to. I don't know how to tell if they're here or not, but I'm trying to figure.
had done a couple of the houses there. I just remember. But Mr. Regan, you have done others on Church Street. We're yep. proposing 3 feet. Is that consistent with what's there in the neighborhood on that street?
We're actually a little bit farther back than the neighbor to the right.
If I can jump in, I'm looking out the window, and 12, 10, and 8 are pretty much up to the sidewalk, so we're well back.
Okay, thanks. I just wanted to get that on the record.
It sounds as though when I took a ride over there today and putting the 3 feet back, it's definitely an improvement.
Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted the testimony.
Yeah, Stephen Cashmore here. This is an attractive looking project, and I think it'll make a nice looking two family house and a nice addition to Church Street.
Thank you.
So I'll make a motion to approve the application.
Let's get to that in a sec. Dave, I wonder, I kind of got sidetracked there, but the sidewalk issue in front, do you have any questions or?
The new service for the one unit, and they may even have to replace, sewer is going down, they may have to replace the sewer, possibly water, to at least the curb line or a little bit further. It'll be in some secondary sewer in the area, so the sewer line's probably okay. The lateral was probably old.
So the stipulation, I believe, by the applicant was that they would repair or replace any sidewalk which is damaged during the course of their construction.
Yes.
This is Dave. Under our new requirements for building permit, we have to submit a plot plan to Avakian, who approves it, which usually includes new sidewalks and curbs and grading, so that's a different situation. That'll be handled by them.
And Ward, before you you make your motion, I just want to discuss what Mr. Kennedy hit upon earlier, in that technically it's a use variance, and Mr. Kennedy can jump in and disagree or agree. I kind of view it as a D2 variance because you've approved the use for this lot previously. But they're coming in technically or theoretically for an expansion of that because of the building coverage that was spoken to earlier. You know, I don't know that we heard Mr. Regan testify. He thinks that they calculated it wrong. I mean, your approval was really for the 55.3% building coverage. They're looking for 61.93. I'm not saying that's a huge difference. I'm just saying I do think that because of that, it rises to the level that you need to reaffirm that if the use variance was granted, and this is a bit of an expansion of it. So I think the standard is a little bit less in that it's a, in that, again, it's more of an expansion of, you know, the non-conforming use that you previously granted. Kevin, did you... You can chime in on that.
I would agree with that completely.
Steve, I believe you wanted to make a motion unless there's further discussion.
I'll make a motion to approve the application. As I said, I think it'll be an improvement to Church Street and to the downtown and Sebring.
This is Dave. I'll second it. I believe also that they really not... We've already approved this project previously, and I don't think there's a substantial change in it. I think it's an asset to downtown, and I gladly approve second it.
Okay, could we have a roll call, please?
Sure. Mr. Cashmore?
Yes.
Chairman Cunningham?
Yes.
Ms. DiGiulio?
Yes.
Mr. DeSeo?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
That was a yes.
Okay. Ms. Ray?
Yes.
And Ms. Gorman.
Yes.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We very much appreciate your time and coordinating it as well as you did. And thank you to Candace and Greg at Intron, because I don't think this is easy to do, and I couldn't do it and wouldn't want to do it, so I thank them.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you, Kevin.
Board members did a great job.
Thank you, Lance.
Than you thought it was, right, Kevin?
Exactly.
And to the Dabs, very best of luck.
Good luck with your new project.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Night.
Good night.
Is there any other additional business before the board this evening?
I just have to walk across the street and introduce myself to the Dabs.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Careful, you gotta be careful. Are you within 200 feet?
I don't. I'm on New Street.
Are you on the street? Hey, on a personal note.
We had one extra person.
On a personal note, you can get a notice, right, Carolyn? On a personal note, thank you, Candace, for being so great as our secretary, but also thank you. I'm getting married on Saturday. last week, Candace met us in the parking lot with masks on to sign off on our marriage application, and it almost felt like a drug deal. But you were so wonderful through the COVID and trying to.
Oh my gosh.
Licensing and walking me along that.
It was fun.
I adore you.
Thanks, Carolyn. Yes, I came up with a drive-in procedure for marriage licenses.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Congratulations. Good luck.
Wonderful wedding.
If there is no other business before the board tonight, would we like to hear a motion to adjourn?
I'll move to adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Good night,
all. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Our next meeting is July 14th.